Welcome back to, what are we even recording? This is my second podcast today. All right, here we go. Advices Radio Network.
Blood, Sweat, and Gear is for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try this at home.
I like AC/DC and ZZ Top. We'll see this beasties and the Kings on rock. Skinner, Seeger, Limp, Corn.
Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally, and of course, with me as always, S-S-H and Ken Skip Hill. Notice I threw the Ken in there. And we got a special guest lurking around in the background over there somewhere. He's with Scott. We got Joe Binley on the line. Hey, what's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. Welcome to the U.S. This has been a long-awaited trip. You've been planning to come out here for a while, huh?
Oh, yeah, I've been on lockdown hiatus for the last 11 months. So the U.S. Embassy in London did not like the look of my face, obviously.
Well, that accent's got me aroused. I don't know about the look of your face, but you keep talking, sunshine.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long, arduous process.
No kidding.
Three visa applications, and ended up having an attorney overseeing it, and it took him 7 months to put the final application together. And the document we actually submitted to the embassy was 515 pages.
Jeez, what could you actually fill up in 515 pages? I can't even imagine.
It was all the company history, because I had to prove significant international trade. And since I started AD in 2009, I've always manufactured and imported from the US.
Okay.
There was company accounts to go back through, and then a lot of the marketing, and then the UK staff. They even wanted to know the detail of where the products were distributed within the UK and each account in the UK and Europe. So it was... And every time they requested another piece of information, that would buy them another 30 days to reply. Nope. So when we'd submit the application thinking we'd done a good job, and they'd come back with one question, and it could literally be so minuscule. It would buy them another 30 days, though, for a right to reply. So I've literally been treading water. In the UK, doing a flat renewal every month, rolling contract, just until this happened. And obviously, now we can get the ball rolling again. Luckily, I've got a good team in the US who kept AD growing, like Frank, and the athletes have done a great job. And a little bit of help from you guys, which I appreciate. Obviously, Scott mentioned, and then you recently with your shows, putting a few posts up and things, you know. I appreciate all the support, because this industry doesn't have too many people with morals and a set of ethics in it. It's nice that when you do stick to them, that you kind of meet the good guys eventually, you know. If you do it long enough and you treat people right, good people generally come together.
I like to think that myself, and that's kind of my mindset with Advices Radio as a whole, you know, that we've just brought together the good guys, good people, and I feel like every week that it grows more and more of them, you know, that we all kind of bind together closer. So I could totally relate to what you're saying. For our audience at home, if you guys don't know who Joe Binley is, he is the owner of Project AD, a company that Scott's talked a lot about here. You know, I've mentioned different products that they use on various podcasts through Advices and over at Bodybuilding Nerds. Joe was nice enough that he sent me out a care package of a whole bunch of cool stuff that I've been experimenting with, and it helped me for the end of my prep. So he made sure to get that out the last 4 weeks of my diet into the LA show. And, you know, I just went to work with that stuff. I got to tell you, I was never a fan of the sleeveless hoodie idea. Like, it just wasn't me. And Joe sent me one. And honestly, it's one of my favorite shirts now. I'm not going to lie.
I've got zero interest in apparel, so that was Brad Rowe's fault. You know, he's out in Gold's Gym, one of our athletes, and he needs to look pretty, so he kind of picked the clothing. So that's on Brad. If it was left to me, I'd be in, you know, any kind of rag tops. It doesn't really matter.
I actually, I was out there, you know, doing my last days of depletion workouts, my last days of cardio, and at like 5 a.m. I'm gonna say, before the sun even came out, I saw Brad Rowe there wearing that exact sleeveless hoodie along with some tights. His quads looked like they basically had like these gigantic tumors growing out of them. They're so big. They looked nuts. Like, his legs are ridiculous.
He's freaky. And he's a little bit freaky, yeah. And he's, you know what? I can't say enough good things about the guy. He's a true workhorse. You know, he knows he's not the most genetically gifted, but, you know, he's the kind of guy you have to pull the reins back a little bit and try and get him to slow down, because he'll burn himself out. If I could get any young people in the industry, aspiring athletes, to follow one person, it would be Brad. For his work ethic, the way that he portrays himself, he's well spoken, he has a good moral code, he's got a lot of integrity. You know, I can't say enough good things about him. You know, he's just a very, very good person and a very, very strong athlete. He's actually competing this weekend at the Frigner Legacy.
Oh, hell yeah. Good luck to him then, for sure.
Well, I think he's he's probably going to be a bit upset when he sees a lineup, because it's a little bit deeper than normal.
that's what I've heard. But yeah, I saw him training legs, and it's like 5 o'clock in the morning. Like I said, the light's not even out yet. There's no way I'm going to get in the gym and train legs at 5 a.m. Skip, how about you?
That's 8 p.m. to me. I'm good with that.
Yeah? You're good? You're good with 5 a.m. training? Yeah.
No, I'm not going to get up. I don't see that unless I'm just going to bed. I'm with you.
Yeah.
His schedule's crazy because he has a lot of clients. So he's he has to fit his training. But it kind of sucks for me because he pretty much goes in on all liquid, so he'll do maybe 5-6 scoops of the carb powder, 4-5 scoops of the aminos and the pump product, because he's not got any food in his system. So he's like, monthly product allowance goes up. So I'm like, Brad, can you not train a little later in the day and lay off these supplements a little, you know?
Well, that sleeveless hoodie would come in pretty, I mean, that would be pretty effective at 5 a.m. because it's chilly. Yeah. I might want my hood up, but the gun's got to be out.
You still got to show off the arms. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it solves, it's a good concept for bodybuilding. Next, what's next? Sleeveless jackets? Not a bad idea.
It's possible. I think I've seen those. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, I think they're called vests.
Actually. Yes. Yeah. Unless you're in the UK, because then UK vest means tank top for us.
No way.
Yeah.
That's what Jordan says. He says, I don't wear vests. And it confused me at first because I didn't know what that meant. He doesn't walk around in vests. I'm thinking, I don't wear vests either. But no, he wears tank tops.
I've just left Jordan because we actually train out of the same gym as well. So I actually spoke to him 2 days ago before I flew. So I was actually talking to him last night. So it's, I say all the good guys seem to come together. I've known Jordan for a lot of years. From not just from the UK, but we both grew up on the boards a little bit. You know, I was over on Intense. You know, I did my stewardship there. I didn't post, didn't ask questions, but I used to go and read. You know, it's, I say all the guys who are around now, I was a fan of the bodybuilding and grown up with it. You know, so it's everyone that I listen to on the radio, guys that I've respected and taken information from and learned from. You know, it's just, I'm not sure if it's going the right way with social media now. It's great for some things, but man, I do miss the days when it was kind of a little bit more. You had to know people to get information, and the boards were the places where you went for some really high quality information. You know, it's a little bit too scattergun at the moment. A lot of bad information being put out.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you there. Missing the community or sense of community from the message boards. everything is so fast with social media. You can't, you know, you don't have very long and in-depth conversations. It's jabs at each other, throw a little information, argue, and then move on to the next topic. I'm with you. I do. I miss the boards. I miss them.
Yeah, and like on the boards, you'd get people detailing certain things they were doing in depth and reporting back, whereas now it's someone starts something and then you get a million people jumping on it, and then it's bastardized to death before it's even got to the end point and people have started seeing results. You know, it's just, I don't know, it's just not the same. And anyone who actually thinks of anything original or tries to do something different, they never end up being credited with it now, because it's whoever's got the biggest following or whoever shouts the loudest gets the credit, not the actual guy who's thinking of it, you know. It's
right. Yeah, sure. I agree.
So you're I didn't realize that, Joe. So I know Jordan trains at Strength Asylum. That's your gym too, huh?
That is, yeah.
No kidding. I hear that place is pretty intense. There's a lot going on over there.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan's out of there. There's always pros popping down. There's obviously these Eddie Halls out of there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known Eddie a lot of years. He's a really cool guy. Like, he's super cool. So there's just a lot of good people, and it's a place where you go to, you work out, and if you're not there to work out, you soon get outed.
Yeah.
There's no selfies in the mirror.
Yeah, it used to be that way, that you would go to the gym, and if you weren't working hard, that you eventually kind of got pushed out. Now it's kind of the other way in a lot of these gyms, where if you work too hard, then they tell you to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, if you start sweating on any machinery, you know, you're waking up to sweat, like, get out the gym. It's unhygienic. Yeah.
Exactly.
I always think that's funny. How long has it been? I think, Joe, you've got to remember. I know Scott does. You got to remember the day you just would get up off of a bench and it would be soaked in sweat. Nobody got fucking cooties from it.
No.
I don't want to sound sick, like I want to roll around in some fat guy's sweat, but I'm wearing clothes. I don't have open sores or lesions. I'm not putting my starfish on the fucking bench. I don't know why they're, I mean, I've been, you know, I have pretty good gym etiquette. I bitch at people who are not taking care of their weight, stuff like that. But I mean, I admit sometimes I just take my sweatshirt and I'll wipe it down. They're like, oh no, that's not killing anything. What? Killing what? Is it just covered with cooties? What the hell are you talking about? When did that come on? What, 10 years ago maybe? I don't think it was any longer than that, was it?
No, I mean, I still don't. I mean, I got to be honest, I still don't wipe my equipment down. I mean, if I'm going to sweat all over it and I'm going to leave a puddle on it, then yeah, I'm going to. But just for the sake of, like, a courtesy wipe, no, that's just not going to happen, you know?
Courtesy wipe. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Man, so we don't have a ton of questions today, but it turned out to be that this is awesome. We've got a special guest here. Had I known ahead of time, I would have put out a thread or something so we could get some questions for Joe. I want to ask you, though, you know, you've got a new product that's been recently released. I believe, is it a pre-workout? It's a stimulant product. Tell me a little bit about that while we got you here.
Yeah, we've just released the Stampede Untamed, which was it's a follow-up. It's like the pre-workout brother product to the Shreddable Untamed, which I know you've tried, the Fat Burner.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense.
It is.
So... yeah, so it's a very similar feel with less of the heat and the sweat element.
Okay.
So you get the focus, the mental energy, but the power output is phenomenal. We've got some 5-adrenomonosphosphate in there, and I don't know of any other companies using that. And Skip will probably know, it's the Synthetech brand that had the vasodilator product in liquid form, injectable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, that's a 5-adrenomonosphosphate in the liquid form. We've got some in powder form in our pre-workout.
What does that do?
Increases vasodilation. You get, and it helps with ATP as well. You do notice a big performance. Cause I tried samples without it and it was pretty hard to locate. And then once I put a little bit of that in, it did seem to help get an extra rep or two.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah. I'm a big fan, you know, and we're not doing this show as just like a product plug thing, but this is stuff I enjoy talking about. So if there's any listeners that don't want to hear this stuff, then forgive us, because this is what I want to talk about today. grazed. I that was probably one of my favorite products that I've been using in years. I have gotten, and of course now post contest, I did end up getting sick. But every contest prep that I have ever done, I've gotten sick at least twice, and it's going to be upper respiratory infection, bronchitis, something, you know, flu. I've been using
HIV.
Yeah, HIV. You never know, right, Skip? And
hey,
I used grazed, and I didn't catch HIV or get sick. And I do think that that it was partially responsible for keeping my immune system up and keeping me healthier. That, and you know, just focusing on vegetables and vitamins, it definitely played a role. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah, I'd look at the supplement industry a little bit differently to everybody else. And if you knew the history of the company and the sequence in which I release products, it's completely opposite to what every other company does. Most companies will release a fat burner, a pre-workout, and a protein powder.
Right.
Well, you know, for me, true athletes in any sport, and especially in bodybuilding, the nutrition's on point. They follow a meal plan. There isn't any real need for shakes when your nutrition's on point. But what is important is making sure the body works very efficiently. There's minimal inflammation. The digestive system's running efficiently. Blood glucose levels are not elevated for long periods. You know, you've got to make sure that everything is working in a good fashion. I mean, other companies will release the other products. It's merely putting a band-aid or masking a problem that's there within the body. You've got to get the system working efficiently for long-term productivity, you know. So I approached it like that. So like Ravenous, the digestive product, I was diagnosed celiac in 2008. So I started looking at gut health then. Ravenous has been out for 5 years. Okay. You know, the glucose disposal agent, Matador's been out for over 5 years, and we've had type 2 diabetics using it, switching from metformin because they didn't have GI distress. So we can recommend a grammage of carbohydrate per capsule, which other companies can. You know, there's a lot of history that goes into a lot of the products, and there's a lot of thought process goes into making it productive for an athlete. It's not just about releasing a cracked out pre-workout or a crazy fat burner or a tasty protein. You know, what I do is to aim at the highest possible standard of athlete and also to cover general health. So that's kind of my approach and the way I see things moving forward. And I'm more interested now. I veer off into more of the functional health, and you see probably I'm doing a lot with a ketogenic diet and things like that. So it's like I want to take care of people beyond bodybuilding because it's a short period where, Skip will agree with this, no doubt. There's only a certain period where you can really push things and get away with it. After that period, if you're not taking care of yourself, you've really got to go back to basics and start looking at, is the body functioning correctly? Are we getting the correct micronutrients? You know, is the heart, the kidneys, or the liver all functioning properly? Or is inflammation in check? You know, these are all things that people should be doing. But we all know that when you've got that run of 10 years when you're really pushing hard and you don't really care, it's all about putting size on and maximizing, that goes out the window, you know, and you see it happening. But we try and educate a little bit with that whilst people are pushing, but we're also there for the aftercare.
I like that. That's such a cool attitude to have, and I like the fact that it's adding to make the bodybuilding community a better place and a healthier place. You know, helping people live longer, really, and get the most out of our training. Because I'm right there with you guys. I mean, being in my early 40s now, I can attest to, you know, the stuff you're talking about. My digestion started going just really downhill. It really always has when I've prepped. And I do think that Ravenous helped me with that. I started using just a small dose of it with all my solid food meals. And that made a difference for me. There's no question. And now I'm experimenting with Matador. Now that I'm post-contest and I can eat pancakes and I'm getting more carbs in, this is a great time to start messing around with stuff like that. And I can tell you, man, I'm I've probably cheated on my diet a few too many times, and I'm getting it back under control now. But there was a couple days there things got hairy, and I think that my weight probably would have been a little bit higher had I not been using glucose disposal agents. So definitely, yeah, helping there.
Years of testimonials on that product in particular, and the reason the way the company's grown is kind of, again, it's opposite. I've been fortunate enough to work or be around a lot of the IFBB pros, and yeah. I'd send stuff out to them, and obviously respect confidence, so I wouldn't tell them. But you know that I've been next, like the last competitive season, I was next day in Matador and Ravenous. I was specifically in Matador to set to hotels, you know, for people to carb up on, because they would find it more predictable than using insulin. You know, I mean, it's, I don't know, man. It's just, if you respect people and put out good quality, you'll get there eventually. And it's always constantly looking to improve the product. So when we updated Ravenous about 18 months ago, you know, the company had grown and it allowed me to do slightly bigger runs. So that means instead of creaming the profit, I mean, well, let me reevaluate the product and see what else we can put in there. With that little bit of extra margin we've got from increasing the production run. So looking at it, like, there was more for ox bile. So where did ox bile help with fatty acid metabolism and some HCL as well? Because, well, the body's not designed to eat 6, 7, 8 meals a day.
Yeah.
It's going to put stress. We're just not designed to eat that frequently. So something like this taken a couple of times, 3 times a day with larger meals, just really helps the process along, you know, without causing, it's all about reducing the amount of inflammation for me, you know, systemic inflammation and distress within the digestive tract, because the gut is the second brain, and there's more and more literature coming out on that. And I know from having celiacs and a really temperamental gut how that will not just affect performance, it'll manifest in many different ways. I'll get skin breakouts, but it'll affect my mood quite dramatically as well. So you get bouts of low energy and depression, you know, when there's a really severe flare-ups. So it's like, when you kind of understand the cascading effects of a compromised gut, for example, then you really start to home in on it. You can improve people's performance quite significantly by just making them more healthy.
I think that's great. Yeah, and I totally relate to what you're saying about gut health. That's something that I think I want to I'd like to do it sooner than later, do a program specifically on that topic. I'd like to find somebody who specifically had a lot of information about gut health, because I am seeing that more and more that you know, like, I didn't even realize that serotonin was produced in the gut. I mean, I just always thought, oh, this is a brain chemical. No, it's produced in your gut. And if that's not intact, if things aren't working right there, then these are important hormones that do keep us, like you said, you know, keeps you from being depressed, keeps you balanced. So, I mean, it's just, they're finding, from what I hear, more and more, just like you're saying. Just to kind of switch topics a little bit here, I wanted to throw in, Skip, you are getting ready to go on your trip, aren't you?
I am, but I tell you, I got to inject something real quick before we move on.
Yeah,
I don't usually sit here and not talk.
I know, I'm surprised.
Okay, and I'm sure that you noticed I didn't have too much to say because I've been listening intently. And I just have to say to any of the listeners who are not familiar with Joe's supplement line and products and everything else, even if you're not familiar with them, just his perspective on supplements, his perspective on the supplement industry, the fact that he's actually not, he's in the minority in the supplement industry, because the supplement industry is just greedy and unscrupulous. They go after the pre-workouts and things like that because that's what everybody or the average person thinks contributes to more muscle and better workouts, and that's how I'm going to grow and get huge. Yeah. And they don't understand how the things that Joe is focusing on with these supplements are so much more important. You know, I can almost, it's funny, and I'm old and I understand that I do this, but, you know, if we have 25-year-olds listening, they're probably going, get to the good stuff. Like, what makes me grow and get huge, bro? You know, I'm not interested in gut health. You pass on that shit and you're screwed. And I just think it's refreshing really, knowing the supplement industry as long as I have and seeing that there is just such massive greed and a lack of really any character or integrity with a lot of these companies, I would say the majority, to be honest with you. They're cutting corners, they're looking for the biggest profit margin, and that's the only thing that they're concerned about. So I've been sitting back listening, and it's refreshing, really, to hear a perspective like that coming from the supplement industry. And it's a formula for success. It takes a lot longer, probably, to get established because I didn't know, I'll be honest, I've been in the industry for a long time, and I didn't know much about Joe and his perspective and his supplement line. I'm just sitting here going, you know what? I don't need to know a whole lot about it. I just, by his perspective alone, I would be the first one in line to try and use some of those supplements, especially the fact that they're related to things don't like health. You know what? Don't give him back the microphone, Joe. Just turn, mute it. Just reach over there and mute his fucking microphone. It is. It's refreshing. And it's good to hear because I'm a cynic, man. I'm chronically negative about a lot of things in this industry. Yeah, I know. Fancy that. And so to hear something like that, it's nice. It's like, you know what? I got to check myself because there are still people who give a shit and are doing the right thing in this industry, and especially in the supplement industry.
Well, you know, every time we don't need to name names or call people out, but there's a lot of shits. And every time that one of these shits does something, it just makes me more determined to do things the right way and just to prove a point and really ram it down the throats. And I've been doing this, you know, I started the company 9 years ago. It's been my life for 9 years. I started with just a couple of $1,000s. And there's been no investment. So it's been organic growth. And the only way you can do that is by putting out quality and treating people correctly and looking after your customers. And the way I see pre-workouts and fat burners, and we've just released a couple of really fucking strong ones and they're great. But I see that as a hook to get someone onto the brand, and then we can educate them, and then we can take them and transition them through the different stages of the bodybuilding career or their fitness journey. So you might start out with a pre-workout with us, but you know what? You're going to learn about gut health because you're going to follow athletes. You're going to learn about the brand. You might move on to glucose disposal agents. You know, you're going to go into or onto the wellness line with the heart and the liver. I mean, the heart product's got licensed curcumin, licensed ubiquinol, licensed olive leaf. You know, we get quality ingredients, and the whole aim is to keep the customer with us, but educate them and take them on the journey. And I think that's just a huge missing link, and it's all about how many dollars you can make from one customer from one sale. And it's not looking at, well, if I look after this customer, they're going to be with me for 5-6 years. And this happens because my first stand at Body Power was a pop-up table. I had 3 products in 2010. And last year's Body Power, I had people coming up saying, I remember when you had the pop-up table, we've been buying your products ever since. Keep up the good work. And, you know, that's worth more than anything to me. So, you know, when you get that kind of feedback and you keep doing it, it's like there's no reason to change the model, you know. Sure. All I see happening is I just keep meeting more good people, and you attract the right people, and you have fun doing it together. You know, you all want to put out the good message, and you try and enjoy the journey. I was just saying that to Scott on the way here. I mean, me and Scott have been connected. I mean, he's only mentioned it maybe the last 3 or 4 months, but it's getting on for a year now. And, you know.
Well, how do the listeners then, just so the listeners are clear, where do they go then to check out your line and your products, and where can they order them?
We're very different, Skip. So we don't blast it out everywhere online, and we don't offer a ton of discount codes. In the US, we support retailers, independent stores. So I always urge people to go and ask or look for the brand in their independent retail stores. And all the information's available on our website, projectad.me. And that they can buy from there, but that's the only place you should be able to find it online, because we're doing things the old-fashioned way. You know, we're supporting the retailers and trying to protect the brand, because, as I said, I launched in the UK in 2009, and we had to go the online route. And what happens there very quickly is that the price points eroded, websites getting price wars, and your brand's devalued very quickly. So when we came to the USA with the strategy, and luckily I did about the first 12 months literally traveling around, hotel hopping, and I stayed in some real shithole hotels. I mean, people have called me for what? I mean, really bad. I mean, I didn't know what I was. I was just a guy from the UK coming over, getting a rental car, cold calling, visiting stores. I mean, I stayed in one hotel outside New York. I call it a hotel. I went to book a room. Which, like, how many hours do you want it for?
Oh, man.
Just one.
Yeah, every other guy was booking for 1 or 2 hours, and the women were coming in and they were going out. And was like, I put my stuff on the bed and I was like, it's probably safer sleeping on the floor. I'm going to catch too many things so sleeping on that bed, you know.
So, right.
Yeah, I've done all sorts. But luckily, Frank Colacino, my vice president, came on board with me. Came on for 2 years ago, and he's just phenomenal. I mean, I've not been able to get over this year, and he's kept the brand growing. He's one in a million. If you cut him, he'd bleed black and purple. So it's about the people you've got around you. I mean, I'm under no illusions. You have the best products in the world, but if you don't have the right people around you and treat people right, you ain't gonna have a business and you ain't gonna have support. You know, so that's pretty much it. I didn't want to make this. I just wanted to say hello to you guys and talk some shit about bodybuilding, because that's what I'm a big fan of. I didn't expect it to turn into anything about the brand or the products, you know, because I'm not a hard sell guy, you know. It's word will get out, and I'm patient and do things the right way. I mean, I just wanted to talk bodybuilding. I've listened to every single show that you guys have done.
Awesome. You know? Thank you so much.
Yeah, that is cool. Yeah.
All the way back from when you guys were with Taylor, and you know, I used to talk to Taylor quite a lot as well. You know, he was a really good guy. He used to send him up a few bits, you know, so if you're a fan of the sport, as I say, all the good guys, they tend to come together eventually. So
I agree.
So I'll let Scott get back on here, because he's the guy who.
All right.
Can we get you? Is there a way we could put things on speaker or something so you guys can both talk?
Yeah. Scott's here scribbling away. He's making some notes. I think he's just developed a new plan for a carb loading protocol, but I'm not sure what he's going to call it.
Yeah, if we can get you on speaker, it'd be great to have both of you, because I'd love to hear your input. And I wanted to also ask you about your personal bodybuilding too, but I figured Skip can only go for so long without talking on a podcast, and so I needed to get him in. Which I feel like you're a little quelled now, Skip, but we got you warmed up. And so I didn't want to necessarily just stop there. Cause I am excited for you too. And I mean, obviously this to me isn't as exciting news as having Joe on the show, but you are getting ready for a trip, and I'm sure that you are very excited about it. You've actually been getting up at like a regular hour to make sure you get all your work done and you're caught up on time. You've been very responsible, Skip. You've been very productive. And I'm excited for you to do this vacation. So tell me a little bit about it. You said you're driving to California first?
I'm trying to get over that comment about regular hours. I damn sure I'm staying up till like 7 a.m.
Oh, well, maybe.
I don't know if those are regular hours. You're probably, no, here's what it is. Yep. I hit you at 5 or 6 in the morning,
yep,
my time. So you're on East Coast. So you got a couple extra hours. You just think that I just woke up.
But in reality,
I haven't gone to bed yet.
Okay, that's yeah, you know, what
I'm,
it is.
I'm running late. I work vampire hours in the, I call them the, you know, the dark months.
Yeah.
So I work very, very late, and I get more done that way because I've got too many kids and dogs and animals and things that are just distractions. So
sure.
Right now I'm working late anyway, but I'm forcing it later because we're going to have to leave tomorrow night and drive through the night. We're going out of LA this time. Usually we go out of Galveston. So there's 8 of us. So we're driving. I'm going to save about $4,000 by driving instead of flying 8 people. And we leave out of LA. We go to, we have a week cruise. We do a cruise every year for our family vacation right around the holidays instead of, it's kind of in lieu of wasting money on gifts that the kids don't freaking need anyway.
I love that idea. So,
yeah, we started doing that about 6 years ago, and I thought they'd fight me on it, and they're totally cool with it. It's actually a really neat thing. It's even cooler when I hear other people say, you know what, I remembered you were talking about that, and we started doing that, and the kids love it. That's cool to me, because that has, if I can have some kind of a cool impact or a positive impact on somebody else, that's kind of a good feeling. So we head to L.A. We go to Cabo and Puerto Vallarta, and I have to, you know, get darker than I am, because I'm not dark enough. No. It's just relaxing. It's very, cruises with the family are cool. If my wife and I are going somewhere, we'll go to a resort. But if we take the kids to a resort, they get bored, they bitch and complain, there's nothing to do, and things like that. There are a lot of other kids their age on these cruises. So they make friends, they go hang out. Melissa and I have our time. It's a very cool, anybody who wants a family vacation that will incorporate fun for the kids and them not driving you nuts, and you get to have fun as well, go on a fucking cruise. Because it really is, I think it's really, really good food. I've heard other people complain that it's not that great. I'm a foodie, and I still think that it's good. Is it gourmet food? Nah, it's probably not gourmet. But, you know, it's all inclusive. It's all paid for, other than drinks. And you just relax. You just chill. And I'm so looking forward. It's been a rough year. So I'm looking forward to just taking this break. And I'm lying to my clients saying there's no Wi-Fi. Yeah. Not really, but there for a while, until about 3 or 4 years ago, it was difficult to get Wi-Fi. So I couldn't do any work. I had no excuse to be on my phone or near my phone.
Wow.
So it's just a really nice break, and I cannot wait to pull out of the driveway tomorrow night.
I bet, man. I bet that's exciting.
If you've enjoyed S2H's contribution to Blood, Sweat, and Gear and would like to learn more, reach out to his team at advancedtrainingtech.com. No matter what your goals are, if you're heading to the pro stage or just want a recomp, feel free to register at advancedtrainingtech.com. Team S2H will be available to educate and inform members as to what plans would best fit their needs, or just hang out and interact at the forums free of charge. That's advancedtrainingtech.com. Team Skip has been synonymous with bodybuilding conditioning for the last 2 decades. From NFL players to professional bodybuilders to 40-something guys that just want to kill it in the gym and their shirt sleeves. If you have too much skin, call Skip. TeamSkip.com, because skin is overrated. Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout-outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
But welcome to the Terror Dome.
So, and Scott, can you hear us over there now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we have Joe on the line still?
Yeah, we're on my phone on speaker.
Okay.
We're sitting on the bed.
Perfect.
Don't think anything of that.
That's absolutely perfect then. So, you know, we've got kind of a laid-back show here because we're recording a little bit early. And that's because Skip's going to be out of town when we would normally record, and you'll be on vacation when this episode is released. How exciting is that? Nonetheless, we don't have a ton of questions here today. We only had a few, but normally we make the show entertaining without the questions. I wanted to ask you guys a question though, and this is specifically about back width training. And this is selfish. This is for me. I talked to Jordan and Dr. Scott. They suggested that back width is something that I could use, more lats. So, Skip, if you were to have a client in that situation, what would you tell him to do as far as training goes?
The first thing I would do is I would dispel what I consider to be a myth, and that is that there are specific exercises for width versus thickness.
Okay.
I understand, you know, pulling the scapula apart, things like that. That's all great for lat pulls and chins. But I think there's a lot of people who have missed out on optimizing back growth or back muscularity by sticking with that very black and white description or explanation, I guess. I've had many clients, and myself included, I have very, very narrow shoulders. So I have always struggled for really good shoulder development and really good back development. And when I got away from that type of mentality of thinking that these exercises produce width, these exercises produce thickness, and I started rowing more, my back got wider as well. Yeah, you know, I always say it this way, and I understand it's an oversimplification, but muscles don't grow in one direction.
Yeah,
you know, you're not going to do rows, and you're only going to get thicker.
Now, where are your where's your like elbow placement when you're doing these rows?
All over the place. Okay. I mean, one thing I think is vitally important for back training is variety in grips, hand placement, narrow. The only thing I don't think is terribly effective is the old school ultra wide, I call them Arnold chins. And now I'm not saying they're not effective. All I'm saying is, you know, there are those who, and I always get mad at my wife. I use my wife as an example a lot. I get mad at my wife because I've been training for 30 years. She has been training on and off and drinking Bud Light and really not terribly focused. And when she can do things that I can't, it frustrates me. She can hang from a chin bar and her scapula pull apart and it's all pretty in there. I hang and it pretty much goes straight down from my armpit to my lower back fat. My scapula are just not going to pull apart. So, you know, there's that. There's things like that to take into consideration too. But, you know, I do believe that for most people, the most optimal hand placement is just outside of shoulder width, because I think that that's the most effective range of motion. If you go too narrow, you're limiting range of motion a little bit. I'm not saying it's not still not effective and it's not a good option for variety to add a different angle, you know, hit the muscle from a different angle. But when you go too narrow, you are limiting range of motion a little bit. You go too wide, you're doing the same thing. So I think optimally, I tend to myself, not only do this myself, but recommend to a lot of my clients to do the majority of your hand placement just outside of shoulder width, because that's essentially the best range of motion. And that doesn't matter if you're chinning, doesn't matter if you're rowing, or even pulling one arm dumbbell rows for that matter. Now I need Scott and Joe to just agree, and then we can move on to the next question.
Yeah, I was going to turn to Scott on this next and see what his thoughts were, because we haven't got to hear much from him yet. What do you what's your take on back growth, Scott? And is there a difference between the exercises you would do for width versus thickness?
If you want a good back, width, everything, do chins at shoulder width, and get a full stretch. And do chins, and everything else works. There's other things that work too, but chins. People don't do chins like they used to. But you look at some of the best backs in bodybuilding, and the guys did chins religiously.
I got. You can take. I got a picture here, Skip, that Scott just sent me. It's a drawing of you.
Nice.
You can take a stability ball. If you don't have someone to, you know, spot you or anything, and then put it up underneath and then roll it up under on your shins with your feet on, you know, tops of your feet on it, that can help you. That's like your own little spotting machine if you don't have one of those chin machines. I don't like those chin machines.
Yeah. What about rack chins?
Huh?
What about rack chins?
Chins, just full stretch chins.
Okay, I was just asking what you thought about rack chins, though.
I don't like them wide because they'll start to mess with your shoulders and your rotator cuffs. But if you just take a shoulder width grip, I like the hand grips where your palms are facing in, and a full chin all the way up and down.
I admit I'm not terribly huge on rack chins either. I understand that people like Dusty and, you know, DC advocates are, and I know DC is. I'm not saying that they're not effective. I just don't. For variety, maybe. I think they're difficult to get in and out of, especially, I don't know how the hell Dusty can get in and out of that, weighing what he does and putting all that damn weight on his lap. It just seems like a lot of work.
That's why your back's small.
That could be. If I were doing right now, right? If I were doing rack chins, I probably would not be so narrow. I don't know. I've tried them. I guess I don't like the feel. I'm just not a big fan. Joe, what do you think?
Not really too much to add. I've had a lot of shoulder injuries these past 2 years, and I've found that the chins with a full stretch, with a new, more neutral grip, even if it's shoulder width, but the palms facing, that helps a ton. And I just think that there's a lot of a lack of activation. So if you can try and, if you're doing something like a chin, if you try and almost pull the bar apart slightly, if you can imagine you're pulling your hands apart, it's like that helps people activate a little more rather than pull straight up and down. And they tend to get a little bit more bicep involvement. If you try and really separate the bar and pull it apart, then I think that you get much more activation from that. And again, things like dumbbell rows, just get a good stretch and a good range, because I used to just lift heavy and I'd move the weight, but since I've gone a lot lighter and really got that stretch and the contraction, I've noticed there's a lot more development there. So it's just really concentrate on the activation and a good range of motion and chins. And I do like some of the row machines, some of the hammer strength row machines, where you can really open the scapula up and get an extended stretch. I think that those are pretty cool as well for width.
Well, Scott, we've talked about retraction, especially when we're talking about Meadows rows.
Oh, yeah.
And I go into that quite a bit on the DVD as well. I consider retraction, or what I call finishing reps for back exercises, vitally important. And I think without that retraction, I think there's a huge component, or a lot of, I guess, potential for growth that is left out of back movements, especially for someone like myself who really has to be careful. I've got a training partner. He's a chiropractor, Dr. Jake. His back is incredible. He's very wide, shoulder to waist ratio, wide clavicles. And he rarely retracts. One of the things that he said he has benefited from with training with me is I am constantly on him to get that retraction, because he's just pulling. He's if you just look at the amount that the bar, or the how much the bar travels, you wouldn't see that there's no retraction there. So it's not like the range of motion looks to be abbreviated until you see that there's no retraction of the scapula. And I just think that that's a huge component that for growth that I think some people miss out, especially when it's easy to train back too heavy and then you're not able to get that retraction.
Yeah.
Well, too, also back development starts from the inside out. So
right.
If you don't have good rhomboids and, you know, trap and you're, you know, you're not building from within to out, you're not going to just have poor back development and you're 1 year into training and sit there and try to do wide pull downs. It's, you know, that's not going to be the solution. So I also like rack deadlifts, but not the arch your back, kill yourself with a weight that, you know, where it's controlled and you bring it up and then squeeze your rhomboids together at the top. You know, it builds that thickness and then you can build from the inside out.
Agreed. Yeah,
that makes sense to me. I just figured I would selfishly throw that one in there. I you know what? I had a listener write in after our last episode. We were talking about cinnamon. There was a question related to cinnamon, if you guys remember that. And there was a guy that was using 10 grams of cinnamon on his food through the day. And he wanted to know if there's any issues with that. This gentleman, Gerardo, he says, hi, my friend. I was listening to your podcast where somebody asked about cinnamon using 10 grams. He says, the short answer, yes, it is toxic. Common cinnamon is toxic at mid doses. The cinnamon that is used as a supplement is a different one. And I think that's what you were talking about, Scott, was the cinnamon bark extract. He says that that doesn't contain the toxic compound. He says, I don't think he is eating that much, though. Cinnamon has a very low density, so it looks like you are eating a lot more than you actually are. Besides, huge amounts of cinnamon is likely that you will be burping it all day long if you were to actually take in, you know, a substantial amount. That basically, if it was causing problems, he would know, you know, through digestive issues. I guess it's hard to say, you know, if the guy's using a lot of cinnamon. I just wanted to say that we had a possible update here. I didn't do any research on this, but he seems to feel pretty confident in this. I just wanted to throw it out there as just another possible answer to the question that we had last episode.
Cool.
Scott, here's a question for you.
Fire away.
All right. This is growth hormone related. He says, would Scott's 2IU every other day growth hormone protocol be optimal when using insulin as well? I have used a protocol of Novalin R 10 to 15 units a few times a week pre-workout in the past with just MK677, but was curious if 2 units every other day method would be more synergenic and effective. Also, I can't afford farm grade GH, so this would be 2IUs of generic that he would be using. What are your thoughts, Scott? I'd consider 2 units to be a low dose of growth, especially for, you know, for a generic, you know, it's going to be on the lower end. Would you still use your every other day protocol doing 2 units?
Yeah, you just you'd start out with every day for 7 to 10 days, get your IGF levels up, and then the 2 IUs every other day. What you're accomplishing there is you're keeping your IGF levels raised or slightly increasing them, and then the insulin would act as, you know, as insulin should, the way he's using it. So it's not really you know, it's yes is the answer to this question. I mean, that would work just fine. I don't see any reason to run it anymore every day, because, you know, the main goal there is to keep the IGF levels up. And I think someone just pretty famous in the industry just embraced the every other day protocol yesterday.
Oh, really?
Someone told me, yeah. So
someone famous.
Yeah. So me, basically me.
I was gonna say Joe. That was my guess. But then Joe's traveling, and you know, it's hard to travel with, you know, stuff like growth. So I'm guessing
actually it was Dave did.
Dave?
Yeah.
Dave Palumbo?
Yep.
No kidding.
Talking about the same thing I was talking about a while back, you know, the problems with blood sugar levels and the low blood sugar levels, and then going back up, and the pre-diabetes and stuff over long-term use, et cetera.
No kidding.
You must listen to our show.
That must be it. You know, we had there was a question on Muscle Minds the other day. They were wondering what the guys thought about Milos's pre, intra, and post workout shakes. And I mean, Milos had like a ton of essential aminos in each one of these shakes. It glutamine, branched chain amino acids, and creatine. And then the last shake, I believe he actually used like a whey protein. But we're talking like 15 grams branched chains and 10 grams of essential, along with creatine, and I can't remember how much glutamine. And they would take that pre-workout and then take that intra-workout again, and then post-workout, basically take that same thing minus the essential aminos and replace that with whey, I believe it was. If this is all off the top of my head.
Probably a hydrolyzed whey.
What do you guys think about a protocol like that? Is it necessary to go that intricate, you know, or could you just maybe just take it all at once? Could I just do one shake that's kind of like pre and intra, and, you know, I mean, in that much essential amino acids in branched chains, is that going to be of benefit? Is it overkill, or is that what it's going to take me to reach the level of Milos? Because that guy, I mean, obviously he's really smart, and he's
shuttling insulin with it.
Yeah,
most likely. And so that's why he's using those larger amounts, and probably using a, you know, Humalog and probably a higher IU amount, depending on who the person is. And that's what it takes to make that work. So I'm assuming that's probably what he's doing is using it with insulin.
Yeah, definitely. That was definitely the plan, was to use it with insulin. So you think that if you were using insulin, something like that could be very beneficial, huh?
Yeah, I've seen it done.
Oh, here we go.
Definitely, Definitely works.
Yeah, I think Milos used it with bolus amounts of carbohydrate. I'm quite familiar with Milos' protocols, having friends. I think it's probably a bit of overkill when you're using it with a carbohydrate as well. Now, if you were just using amino acids as the fuel substrate with some insulin, then fair enough, you need some high amounts. I mean, I say I do quite a lot with the ketogenic diet, and there's certain amounts of amino acids that can be beneficial pre and intra workout. I still don't think you need a huge amount of the branch chains. In addition, just get a really good bolus dose of the essentials, and you're going to have your branch chains covered off. But using it with a carbohydrate, I think obviously that's an amino sparing effect with the insulin. So I'm not really too sure as to using such high amounts. I mean, I don't know if he gets upwards of maybe 30 grams of essentials and branch chains pre the same intra, but you've also got maybe 50 to 100 grams of carbohydrates twice there. And
I missed that.
People maybe twice a day because they do an AM and PM training session. So when you're adding that up, that's how people get such rapid weight gains. You're getting a ton of water weight and inflammation. It looks impressive on the scale, but not many people can hang out at that for 2 to 3 months. You know, it's a short-lived protocol for rapid weight gains, and then people have to take a step back and kind of readdress the issues that they've just built up. You know, so for me, it'd be overkill using that many of essentials and branched chain aminos whilst you've got such a bolus amount of carbohydrate going in.
Plus, the essentials are the key. I mean, that's the key, and also, I don't know what his diet, the diet, everything that looks around it, but if you were a lot higher in their fats, you could eliminate a lot of the carbohydrate need.
Yeah, Milos is very clean on his insulin days, so it's very low fat, protein and carbohydrate dominant.
Yeah, that was the one thing I missed, was the 30 to 50 grams of Vitargo pre-workout in that shake. The second shake had 50 grams of Vitargo. And then the third shake had 50 to 75. So, yeah, you're right. He's got a lot of carbs in there, too, to cover that insulin.
Yeah, and you'll have the pre-workout meal about an hour before, an hour and a half before, which is very carb-rich as well, but with whole protein sources as well. So you think about saturation points and how many amino acids are going to be in the bloodstream already from the pre-workout meal and how many essentials you're actually going to require, you know, whilst you've got a fuel substrate such as carbohydrate going in. You know, it's... I don't know. There's obviously going to be no definitive way of telling if they're going to be used, but for me, it's probably overkill.
With that much Vitargo too, with insulin, I mean, you better have a lot of toilet paper, because I mean, that would treat a lot. I mean, I used to use a lot of Vitargo, but it is a little rough on the digestive tract too.
Now, as far as those aminos go, we've talked before about the differences between essential and branched chain amino acids. Joe, you said that the essentials are really going to be the route to go. Can you explain to us, with your background, I'm sure you have some more in-depth understanding, what are going to be the benefits of using an essential over a branched chain?
Well, the essentials are amino acids that the body cannot form, so you've got to give them from an outside source. So if you've got a whole protein meal, unless you're training fasted, you're going to have a good amount of all spectrum of the amino acids. Now, I actually did a video about a year ago, and I used the analogy of, I'll try and remember it now. If you imagine that proteins are like words, and words are made up of letters, the essential aminos are like the vowels. How many words or protein chains can you make up without the vowels, without the essentials? You can't make many words. So with that analogy, it's like the essentials are the key. So you're going to have plenty of non-essential amino acids from the meal prior, and your body's got plenty of non-essentials anyway. So for me, you want to be giving the body exactly what it's likely to be short of and what it can't synthesize itself whilst it's got any chance of being in a catabolic state, which is whilst you're training, that's when you're most at risk. No. And again, the amounts will vary depending on the nutrition protocol that goes with it and are you using any carbohydrate, because again, they're going to spare. So for example, if I'm like in a ketogenic or low carbohydrate state, I can tell you the performance dramatically increases if I take 20 grams of essential aminos pre and 20 grams intra. Hmm. Now, if it's a carbohydrate, you could easily cut that in half, you know. So I just think there's a huge benefit. And if you look at the branched chain amino acids, a lot of the studies are done at a 2-1-1 ratio. But the studies aren't done on essential aminos. And the real powerhouse within the branched chain is just leucine anyway, is the real signaling amino for mTOR. So if you've got 10 grams of essentials, you've got enough leucine in there, then it's going to do the signaling job. And it's just going to allow for the essentials to be delivered. Hmm. So for me, it just makes more sense to give the body all of the essentials as opposed to just the branched chains, because it can't produce the essentials without them being given to them, if you know what I mean. So it just makes common sense to give them at a time when they're most needed.
I feel like a lot of people say this.
Whenever you're essential, though, essential is telling you that your body needs an exogenous form of that. It's not going to produce it on its own in most cases. So that's why it's essential.
And, gotcha.
Your body is going to burn through all fuel substrates while you're training. So you're going to be using glycogen, you're going to be using fatty acids, and you're going to be using some amino acids. So just make sure you're covering your bases with the amino acids, the one that can't be synthesized itself.
Hmm. So, you know, I've heard this before. We've talked about it on some of the programming. I've heard John Meadows talk about it, and I've heard various other coaches say exactly what you're saying. You could give us some insight here then, Joe. Why is it that all the companies are producing branched chain amino acids, and it's hard to find a good essential amino acid product on the market?
I think more companies are starting to move towards the essentials. And you've got to look at supplement companies, what really matters. You know, the branched chains are easy to flavor. They taste good. They're low cost. And there's all these studies done on 2.11 ratio aminos, branched chain aminos. So, hey, look, I've got a study to back it up. It tastes great. It's cheap to make, and they're needed because this study says so, you know. Now, the leucine threshold varies. I mean, our amino product is heavy in branched chain. It's 5 grams of leucine with a gram of isoleucine or a gram of valine, but we've got 5 grams of the other essentials in there as well.
Okay.
So you get the signaling of the leucine, and then you get a good dose of the essentials. And we've got a gram and a half L-carnitine. The whole thing comes out about 13.5 grams per scoop. So it's like we build an efficient amino product. And I think more companies, you'll see a trend, Scott. I believe that more companies will start coming out with essential products because more people are starting to see the value in them. But essentials were big, 15 years ago? You know, everything just goes full circle.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it comes down to cost, and people don't want to spend the money and to put that amount of essentials in there, and they're just keen on flavor.
And the flavoring, because some of them taste pretty nasty to some of the essentials, especially if you put them at a good dose. So it's easier to flavor just the branched chains.
That's the thing I suspected was the flavoring thing, because I've been unlucky enough to have had raw, unflavored essential aminos, and you can only add so much of that to your intra workout shake before it starts tasting pretty rough pretty quick.
Yeah, I say it's a supplement industry, Scott, and as Skip alluded to, that's why he's so skeptical about it. You've got to look at what the bottom line is for most of these companies out there. You know, it's let's put a nice label on it. Let's get some Insta-famous people to push it, and let's make it taste good. Yeah. You know, if you get three things, you're going to sell product for a period of time, you know. And I probably sound a little bit like Skip in that, but look, I've been in the industry for long enough, and the supplement industry for longer than most people realize, and I'm privy to a lot of information and been around a lot of company owners, and you know, this is what it boils down to at the end of the day. It's a flavor, and it's a cost issue. It's not a quality of product. And are we looking to actually develop people's physiques and help them out and put the best possible quality out there? That's not the driving force.
Yeah, like I mean, I said before, you know, Joe's Aminotaur has more leucine in it than most companies' entire branch chain profile.
Yeah.
At 5 grams. So, you know, I mean, that's why, you know, it's by far, in my opinion, the best one on the market.
But as you mentioned, John Meadows does a lot with essential aminos, and Milos has always been big into the essentials. So, you know, there's some guys with good credibility that are putting it out there, and I do expect that trend to follow. I'm actually looking deeply at essential aminos. There's some other aminos that do some really powerful things, and I don't think that aminos are respected or drilled down enough on currently. So I'm looking forward to the next 12 months in really working and developing a few unique products with a few of the other amino acids that actually have some really beneficial effects. I mean, certain amino acids are leached from the muscle as a fuel substrate more readily than others. You know, people don't look at stuff like this. I mean, it's pretty cool. It fascinates me. So I'm just looking forward to getting my head into the research more with it, you know, because it's there'll be some more cool stuff to come. I enjoy learning and looking at perspectives that people don't look at.
That's awesome. And it benefits all of us too, so I think that's pretty cool.
I like where Joe is going with the you know, focusing on amino acids. I think that the advancements in nutrition and supplementation, I think the next advancement, I think, is going to be focused in that area. So I'm glad to hear him say that. I think I was quiet because I'm recusing myself from anything directly related to Milos.
Are you a politician? Recusing?
No, what I'm saying though is I'm not going to, and I'm not knocking you guys for, you know, commenting. I just don't want to directly, because there's potential conflict of interest with a couple clients. But I will say this. I think that branch chain aminos, and this is so indicative of our industry, they're an easy sell from back in the, even in the Weider days, as far as branch chains and life essence and things like that, because they were the dominant, you know, amino acids in skeletal muscle. So it was an easy sell. And I think what has happened in the last couple of years is there has been so much more, not even necessarily studies, but there's more focus now on amino acids, and people are starting to break them down and look at the benefits of each and really looking, taking a harder look. And I think that's what's helped make the train. I know I was BCAAs, you know, for a long time too. And then I started to take a closer look at the EAAs just within the last couple of years. And, you know, it seems pretty obvious that there's more of a benefit there. What I'm careful of, and I think a lot of you guys probably do the same thing, I hear from clients and I hear from people in the industry all the time asking about new stuff. Well, I heard this. Well, I've heard that. I don't have the time, I don't think most of us do, to look into every single thing, whether it be a supplement or some new concept or new idea, the second that we hear it. It takes me a while, and I need to hear things. I don't want to say over and over, but I need to hear things and people questioning things in a specific area before I'm going to take the time to really focus on that. Excuse me again, and look into that and see what's there. And I just think that the BCAAs were an easy sell from the supplement industry. So I'm just going to agree with the large majority of what you guys are saying and just not add anything other than that, I guess.
All right. I've got a couple more questions here. One of them is there any research that supports better absorption doing either intramuscular or subcutaneous injection based on body fat percentage? He's asking in reference to TRT injections done twice a week at 100 milligrams per shot. So I know that Dr. John Chrysler really brought this into popularity a few years ago, doing subcutaneous TRT. What do you guys think of that, first of all?
I've done some research on it. Personally, taking sub-Q TRT shots and then testing my levels and then compared to IM. And, going sub-Q is kind of saying, you know, what defines sub-Q and how much body fat. Because if you're injecting a compound into body fat, if you have a high, you know, high amount of body fat in that area, you're going to get definitely get a delayed increase in blood levels. And I found that I didn't get quite as high tested levels with sub-Q into the actual body fat. Now, if you want to get a true sub-Q, you know, down into below the fat in between the muscle and the fascia area, it's a little more effective. But I am, you're obviously going to raise blood levels much faster, and you're going to get definitely get a at least a faster rise in blood levels. And I'm going to say there's, from what I, testing I did, you're going to get more of the compound in your bloodstream. Something gets lost somewhere in the fat cells.
I could see that. I could see that it doesn't have the same, yeah, the same blood flow. So it's definitely going to slow it down.
You know, I've also seen, I have, my sinuses are draining terribly bad. Sorry. I've also seen in some clients who have done that, use the sub-Q injections, that it thickens the skin at the injection site, not just for that one injection, but over time.
Really?
And yeah, and there's even questions. I spoke about this with Dr. Scott Stevenson too, who said the same thing. He had a couple clients, and I probably shouldn't do that because he can speak for himself. But we've had conversations where he has had similar situations where the client has actually questioned whether there's almost an increase of body fat in the area of the injection site. So as an example, if you're injecting in your abdominal area, I know I've come across it at least twice, maybe three times, where you think it's just a thickening of the skin from the injection, like maybe it's irritated or something. But then when they go to get lean 3 months later, they swear that they're carrying more body fat in that area, and they are not as lean in that area at the injection site as they were prior to doing sub-Q injections. So even, you know, I don't know how, you know, absolutely true that is, but the fact that someone else that I have a lot of respect for as far as opinions and experience has said the same thing, it was concerning enough to me. I think what happens is too, you have to be careful with volume. Volume plays a role too. So, you know, if you're breaking it down into small injections almost daily and you're rotating injection sites sub-Q, that probably won't cause as much of an issue. If you're trying to get, you know, a CC of test, you know, twice a week, and you're doing a CC, you know, per sub-Q injection, and you're doing them in relatively the same area, say you're injecting only left and right of, you know, your belly button in your abdominal area, you may have more potential there to have that same situation.
That makes total sense to me.
Yeah, you're going to get inflammation sub-Q injecting. I mean, it might not happen every time, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. I've done injectable D-ball sub-Q, and just because it was an everyday shot, and I wanted to see how that would work. I also found that, and I've used a couple other compounds that way, I found that like the more caustic the compound, the more issue I would have. Like the shots just didn't seem to settle as well as they did IM.
Well, yeah, it's not dispersing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joe, have you had any experience with sub-Q shots?
Not with testosterone, but yes, with other things, and with quite high volumes as well. And
really?
I'm gonna agree with Skip and Scott. You get inflammation, and I noticed that there was some really shallow. I think I took it in my lower abdomen region, and I had these little pockets of, I can't even know what it was, where it was fluid retention, but it stuck around for quite a while, and that just put me off ever doing anything sub-Q, really. Everything's IM for me from now on. I don't really see the issue with IM if you're going to be injecting something, you know what I mean? Just use IM. I mean, I've tried a few different things over the years, experimenting with, but I injected L-carnitine years and years ago. I grew up on a farm, so there's certain veterinary aminos and things that you could get that I played with to help with endurance, and some of those were sub-Q, and they were quite high volumes, and yeah, the inflammation that it would leave irritation of the skin and around the site. For me, it's just not worth it when you can go intramuscular. Just suck it up and do that.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I think when I tried it, it was just to give my sights a break. I felt like I was just getting beat up from too many repeated shots with everyday injections that I thought, hey, I'll try these sub-Q shots. Man, I couldn't hang with you guys. I feel like just I put it in the love handles. That's where I felt most comfortable. I couldn't imagine doing like a test shot right by my stomach though. It throws me thinking of an oil-based shot, you know, something like that.
Your neck is leaner. You might want to just do them in your neck.
Oh, geez. Yeah. You know, speaking of leanness, I mean, that's kind of what his question is that will body fat change that, you know, how lean you are? I feel like the leaner you are, the less likely you are to actually hit a sub-Q shot right. Am I right with this?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, and that's why it's tough when we talk about sub-Q injections, because there's a lot of variables, body fat, whether you're rotating injection sites, what the base is for the compound, how voluminous the injection is. There's just quite a few variables that need to be covered. My best advice is try it. If you want to see how it works, go ahead and try it, but try like hell to get through the subcutaneous fat layer. That's vitally important. And I think one of the main benefits, and I think why people are looking at sub-Q now, is there have been some studies that show that for some reason it has less impact when you on your blood as far as RBCs, hematocrit, and hemoglobin when you inject sub-Q. Now, I haven't seen that. I've heard that from people that I respect, you know, their opinions. I haven't looked into it myself, but I've heard it enough that I feel confident saying that. Now, whether that's because it's sub-Q or whether it's just because it's a lower dose injected more frequently, that I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah, and also one thing with sub-Q, some people I think don't understand is, you know, especially if you're leaner, it's actually easier, but you have to pin it at about a 30-degree angle. You don't come straight in like an IM injection. You want to pinch and come in at an angle, about 30 degrees, not parallel. So it's still up, you know, on the surface of the skin, but at about a 30-degree angle.
Okay. Well, that's all the questions we've got, guys. That was it. I did want to ask Joe, though. Joe, what are you doing with your physique now? I mean, I've seen you've been getting in pretty great shape. You've got this video series, Fat Joe, that's on YouTube, and I've been following along with that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's going to get a lot more content now that I've got out. I was literally holding off the whole project until I got out to America. I mean, I've been on the ketogenic diet, and I mean, this is a strict ketogenic diet. I've not had a carbohydrate meal for 7 months.
Wow.
My fat content's about, I've got 15 years training. I don't think in the last 10, 12 years I've ever done less than 350, 400 grams of protein. My protein on a training day now is probably around 120. On a non-training day, it's about 100.
No kidding.
I think that you can definitely grow. I think the next 12 months, I will prove that. I've got quite a few different takes on the standard ketogenic approach. And like I was talking earlier about the amino acids, no one really drills down. There's a lot to be done with amino acids, and there's a lot to be done with fats as well. Mm. And certain times to use certain fuel substrates. You know, it's going to be an interesting process, and it's exciting for me because nobody's done it. So that's where my real motivation is. So I've stayed lean. God, I could have literally within 2 to 3 weeks of stepping on stage, I held that for about 5 to 6 months because I was waiting on this visa. So every month I would be hanging out. I'll just hang on for another month. I'll just hang on for another month.
Geez.
If you hang out at that level of body fat for that period, my cardio has been at least 2 hours for the last 8 months.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of cardio, man.
I don't make posts about it. You know, I just get on with it. I still run the company. I travel. You know, it's you suck it up, you get it done. So it makes me laugh when all these people are bitching and complaining. You know, it's pretty ridiculous. But there is a definite change once you become fat adapted. So I'm going to be now having a consistent period, and it's the first time I'm going to say for maybe 3 to 4 years where I have a consistent calorie surplus I'll be going into, and really look to add some tissue because the business has been priority. And while I was still training, I never miss a training session. I book a hotel with a fitness suite. I always do my morning cardio. I don't think I miss morning cardio for going on 10 years. I mean, that's serious, you know, even on Christmas Day, you know, one of those jackasses will get out and go for a walk. But it's just ingrained. So now I'm here and I'm seeing Scott regularly as well. So I'm looking forward to hanging out with Scott, and he's got some pretty cool ideas. So we're going to be doing some work together, which is, it's pretty exciting because I always ride solo, you know, and it's, it's nice to share something, especially when it's something new, you know. But I expect a lot more content and some quite different things that come out. I'm pretty confident that in the next 12 months, we'll get 15 to 20 pounds of stage weight on. And you've got to look at the environment. So people say, be rolling their eyes listening to this, like, yeah, this guy's full of shit. But you've got to look at the environment that I'm coming from, you know, a lot of cardio and holding the physique back. And I've had pretty serious shoulder injuries for the last 2 years, which I'm hoping we can get fixed up. So that's not really allowed me to train shoulders for 2 years and restricted on a lot of movements. So if everything comes right, we may look at doing something towards the end of 2018. It's just watch this space, and I keep putting stuff out on YouTube, and I intend doing the whole thing ketogenic as well. So it's going to be a full, let's try and disprove the myth that you can't build muscle. And if I don't know, I just did a video on exogenous ketones last week that I published, and if you actually look at some of the research and the literature coming out, the cascade effect of ketones, there's a lot going on that we don't know about, and the researchers are only just finding out. I kind of got into the ketogenic diet a couple of years ago, and it's become popular now. But I mean, a lot of mine's health related. I've got a family history of cancer, and I'm predisposed to that. Actually, the last time I competed was 2012, and it was actually so my mother could see me compete one last time, because she'd fought cancer for 4 years, and unfortunately she fell about 8 weeks short. I've not entertained the thought of a show because of bad memories, but I think I need to, on a personal level, do another one to get over that. And doing the ketogenic style, the health factors that come into that, and the benefits and the longevity, I just think that it's something that maybe I can show a different aspect to. And hey, is it going to be something for everybody? Hell no. Because when you're young and you're insulin sensitive, ride that carbohydrate train for as long as you possibly can. But you know what? When people get to a certain age and those carbohydrate tolerances go down, insulin resistance starts to build up, you know, periods of ketogenic dieting, if I can demonstrate you can progress by investing 5-6 months into getting fat adapted, and you can build some tissue and improve health markers, then you know what? I'll have done my job and left the industry with something that's beneficial for people's health long term. So that's where I'm coming at, and that's my intention. So you'll see and hear more from me on that, and obviously from Scott as well. So it's pretty cool being out here, because we should be able to check in person while I'm out here every couple of weeks. And nice. I'm looking to get regular DEXA scans and things done and report back on how certain diet changes and uses of amino acids affect things. So
what I'd like to see, and I really need you to do this, Joe, is if you can get Scott to do even 3 minutes of cardio, I want it on video.
Yes.
How many?
3 minutes. If you can do, if he does 3 minutes of cardio, make sure you get it on video.
Hey, I will say this, over this last year, a little bit more than that, working with Joe's diet, he, you know, obviously doesn't intake hard, you know, just trace carbohydrates mostly, but when experimenting with some things that'll come out in the video, we was able to put on some actual lean tissue on no carbohydrates, even as lean as he was, you know, 2 or 3 weeks out basically from a stage at almost the whole time or most of it. So, that's going to be part of the video series, but, we both kind of figured some things out and that'll come out as the video series goes along, unless he drinks his 12th cup of coffee here and falls over on me.
Oh, yeah, geez. I left, I had to pack all of my belongings up yesterday and empty the flat. And I got to the place I was staying at 3 a.m. UK time. The taxi picked me up 3 hours later and I landed, and that was a 10 hour 20 flight. And then we're about another 40, 50 minutes getting through customs. So I'm probably going on about 4 hours sleep this last 36 hours. So you're doing well to get any form of sense out of me and not just gibberish.
Yeah. Well, we talked to.
Although I'll probably listen back to this and it'll all be gibberish. And I'll be like, oh man, you should edit that a lot more.
We, for an episode of Advices, I spoke with IFBB Pro John Anderson, who works with you. He's one of the team members over there at Project AD. He's had a very similar philosophy to what you're talking about. And he said that he's done the majority of his growing without using carbohydrates, focusing on proteins and fats, protein being the primary source. And I'll tell you what, that guy's huge. So if it can work for him, I got to say it can work for you too.
John's pretty unique and it's very different. So I actually, he's doing the Ferrigno this weekend and we're not working together for this show.
Okay.
And that was a little bit, it was a mutual decision. I'm going to say I've not been in the best place to help people with prep, with the distraction with the visa and
a lot
of personal things as well. I've been pretty tied up and invested and went, I literally only help maybe 4 or 5 people a year. Because I'll give all my time. So, I took someone on a week out from the Olympia and helped them at the Olympia. I do things I just don't post about, like special cases. But John was fun to work with, but he's grown. It's very protein dominant.
Yeah.
You're getting plenty of gluconeogenesis. So, but one thing we did do in his prep was I managed to pull his protein content down and upped his fats, and we kept him a lot fuller.
Oh, really?
Yes, we did. And again, amino acids around training, and he doesn't like to use any carbohydrate, but we used Matador in his carb load, and he would literally spill on about 250, 300 grams of carbs. Well, wow. I got him up to, after 2 weeks with Matador and the change of diet, I think we got him up to about 600 grams of carbs with no spill.
Wow.
So, but he wanted to do this prep, just going back to his higher protein and see how he came in. So I'm going to be interested to see, because we haven't spoken that much and we'll probably team up again after this one. But I always think it's good if a competitor wants to go and experiment themselves and then come back with what they've learned. I think that's good for both parties. You just keep the relationship there and see, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but that's a much higher protein percentage, than I'd be comfortable saying is ketogenic.
Okay. I follow you. I was trying to draw some lines there, seeing some similarities, because just saying not using carbohydrates to and still growing muscle, that in itself to me is very foreign from what I'm used to hearing from really anywhere in the bodybuilding industry. So I feel like you're treading new ground, and people should definitely keep an eye on this. Once again, tell us, Joe, it's projectad.me.me that they can find your products, right?
Dot me, as if myself. Yes. And then Scott has a discount code. that when I listen to the show, Skip butchers every single time. So Skip can probably give it with like some capital lower paces, you know. He knows it off by heart now.
What's your discount code, Scott?
S2H20, capital letters.
All capital letters?
Sierra, the number 2, H Hotel, and then 20.
Do you have anything?
I think our website's actually sophisticated enough that the casing doesn't matter, but just for the purposes of this show and for Skip's enjoyment, it has to be capitals and lowercase.
So 2 is spelled T-O-O, right, Scott?
No, the number 2. It's too hotty, baby. But we got to get rolling because I've got some guys competing this weekend, so they're going to meet us at the gym for some posing.
Nice.
Cool.
All right. And we're about out of time, so this works out perfectly. Anything that you need to mention here, Skip, that we haven't covered, or you, Scott?
We keep an eye on the YouTube channel, the Fat Joe channel, because we might even make a video tonight if he's awake. And, there'll be a lot more content coming out about this program. And it works for a lot of people, but there are some it doesn't as well. But, you know, something definitely worth learning about or trying.
All right. And how about you, Skip?
The DVD will be ready to go and be free to the public the week of Christmas.
Oh,
however, however, it is going to be available on Patreon in about 2 days. The day that I leave, actually Friday.
Okay.
So 2 days, but I will be on vacation. It will be available for anybody who wants to view the DVD in its entirety, but they will have to pay $12.99. If you don't want to pay that, then that's cool. It's still free. It's always been free, but it won't be available until the week of Christmas. It's all done, but we're trying to finalize how it sits on the TeamSkip.com website, and that's going to take at least another couple weeks, especially because of my vacation. And we have to make sure that not only is it sitting there, but that there are no kinks, there are no problems with people accessing it, bandwidth issues, any type of connectivity type of issues.
Sure.
So it'll take a couple weeks to get it there, and it'll take probably another week, 10 days, for us to make sure that there's no issues. And that way we know that the week of Christmas it'll be ready to roll. So if you are looking, I'll have information posted on social media as early as tonight. If anybody does want to view it early and pay the $12.99, and for anybody who says, well, you said it was going to be free. It is still free if you want it for free. It just won't be available free until the week of Christmas. Okay. Why am I charging $12.99 early? I admit that this is not every, it's free to people, to the users, but it's not free for me to produce and get done and get edited and everything else. These things typically cost me roughly about $4,000. So, you know, if even a handful of people or 50 people want to view it early, they're taking the edge off for me, quite frankly. And
Fair enough.
That's fine too.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'll be still on the pirated version for $4.99.
So,
nice. I'll tell you what, if I was that important, I'd worry about it being pirated. If somebody wants a pirate, I'm just Skip. It's going to be free anyway, so what the hell. I guess all they're doing is helping me with exposure because, you know, my name and my face is plastered across the 27 chapters. I think it's over 30 hours. And I think it's pretty good. It runs the gamut. It's got beginner shit. It's got intermediate shit. It's got advanced shit. So I think everybody will have the ability to come away with something. The advanced people might be bored with my training. Like, oh, I've seen training before. Okay. But yet there are other things, whether it be the SCGS compound explained in detail, the fat burner, the issues that I had through 3 runs, things like that. It's all detailed and it's all together. So if any listeners out there get it and they go, well, some of that information I already knew, you might, because sometimes I talk about bits and pieces on a podcast, or I talk about bits and pieces or my ideology in my Elite FTS coaching logs or and on social media. But it's all in one place, and it's a culmination of what? Since 2013, since I made the transition to TRT dosing.
Fair enough, man. It sounds good. I'm going to look forward to checking this out. And Scott, I think he gave you the go-ahead. He's saying that go ahead and pirate it, that you can make the $4.99 off each copy, and and it's good. He's okay with that.
If anybody wants, yeah, I mean, put it out there for me.
$4.99 to see those elevated cankles in Death Row.
All right, guys. Well, we are out of time, like I said, and it sounds like Scott and Joe have to take off. This has been another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear with S2H, Skip Hill. I'm Scott McNally and special guest Joe Binley. We will see you soon.
Out.
Radio.